Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Matt McAfee of Goal Boys will join us. We will discuss the NFL draft, talk about maybe some NBA playoff games for Friday and this weekend. But we start with the draft and what looked like Chalk City. Caleb Williams, Daniels, May, Harrison, all boring. Everything we kind of thought. There was some intrigue around three where it seemed like there was some steam. There was steam on McCarthy, which made some sense. Hey, Michigan kid, Patriots drafting another Michigan kid, a kid who's a winner. Kraft might like that, an Irish kid in Boston, in New England. But it was May. May was always the favorite. May was minus 300. So not too much shocking in the first five picks. And you're thinking, all right, chalk. Neighbor six, nothing shocking. Titans going offensive lineman, Latham. And then, not to overstate things, but maybe the most shocking top 10 pick I can ever remember, for the Falcons to spend that kind of money on Cousins and then draft Penix 8, which nobody had, completely out of nowhere. You look, very rarely is everyone kind of unified on something. There's always a contrarian opinion, somebody defending. I haven't heard anyone defend Penix. I'm not going to defend the Penix pick. It makes no sense to me. He's an older player. Cousins, you figure, he's got a couple years left. Why they would do it, I have no idea. So just a shocking move in what was otherwise a chalky top of the draft. Jets with a little maneuver to trade down, get some offensive line help. Wasn't surprised by that. You got to keep Rodgers healthy. Thought maybe they go Bowers. The receivers were gone by then. So my goodness, what an absolute stunner. The Penix was really the highlight of the first round. Knicks goes higher. And again, I think I told you about earlier in the week, I was doing a show where I was like, oh, Knicks will probably go second round. And someone texted me and said, no, Knicks is going early. Figured Broncos might be the team now. Sean Payton is sitting here. I saw Schefter tweeted out, oh, well, Sean Payton, he's got an eye for quarterbacks. He really wanted Mahomes. It's very easy to sit here after the fact. Oh, I wanted Mahomes. Yeah, sure. I mean, there was no evidence. If you wanted Mahomes, you know what? You could have traded him. They said, well, he was sitting at 11. The Chiefs hopped him. Okay. I mean, maybe it's true. There's no way to prove it. It's a very convenient after the fact thing to be like, oh, you know, he really loved Mahomes. I don't see it with Knicks. Look, Sean Payton obviously knows more football than me. I just don't see it. Older player. I still remember the player from Auburn. Same thing with Daniels at Arizona State, to be honest. I don't know. I know these teams are starved for quarterbacks, and that's why the people say an under 4.5 quarterbacks, because of the history of these quarterbacks sliding farther than you think. Okay, that's true. That's a fair way to point it out. But this year was different. I mean, talked all year. Really, I wasn't on this show because by the time I started doing this podcast, it was the end of the year. But all these other shows, one of the themes of the season this year in the NFL, how bad the quarterback play was. Every week, the quarterbacks stink. How bad are these offenses? Nobody has a quarterback. And next year's draft class is perceived to be a very weak quarterback class. So you add those two factors in. Weak quarterbacks this year, starting in the NFL, lack of quarterback play. And next year, you can't get one. So if I need one, and if I don't have a quarterback, which a lot of these teams don't, I can't get one next year. I kind of have to force it this year. So should have seen that coming. Six picks in the first 12 are quarterbacks. A lot of offense. Defense doesn't go off the board until 15. So offensive heavy, a lot of linemen, a lot of receivers, a lot of quarterbacks. A fun draft, a shocker with Penix. Other than that, pretty chalky at the top five. So we will see how it goes from here. I want to get Matt McAfee's thoughts on the draft. If this induces a bet, any team to bet a future NBA games, it's it's kind of weird that the NBA really does take a backseat. I wonder if at some point they will kind of back off on draft night, because you don't want your playoff games buried like this. The NHL, the NBA, two NHL games, three NBA games, and you're completely overshadowed by the draft. I wonder if at some point they just say, you know what, night of the draft, we'll skip it. We'll play Wednesday. We'll play Friday, Saturday. We'll do everything but the night of the draft, because these games get buried. I mean, who's sitting there watching Magic Cavs on a Thursday night, the night of the draft? You got to be a real diehard or have a lot of money on that game to keep an eye on that. So fun weekend of basketball. It's interesting to get a 5:30 Eastern Friday game. I don't know. I can't remember ever having a game in that time slot. Very unusual. I wonder what the reason for that is. I'm not against it. I like the early start. It's a lot of fun. So fun weekend of basketball. We got more draft Friday. I grew up when the draft was Saturday at noon and it wrapped around all weekend. I still preferred that, but Thursday to Friday to Saturday, as it winds down, it's nice to have it on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday you're done. So a lot to discuss. We'll get Matt McAfee's thoughts on all of this. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast, and he joins us for the first time. He makes his debut. It is the great Matt McAfee from Goal Boys. Matt, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on. Thanks for staying up late. How's it going?
It's going well. Just stayed up to watch your Lakers and had a good first round. Kind of light on the bets this year, but we went 2 for 3 and profited. So I'm happy.
We will start with the draft, and I'm going to throw you right into the fire. I'm the Atlanta Falcons, and I hire you to be my PR guy, my defense attorney. Please defend the Michael Penix draft pick.
Yeah, and I'm a guy who likes Michael Penix. So, like, whatever I say, I want to preface it with I like Michael Penix. I really do. I think he can have a good career, but the math doesn't add up. The position, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunity to trade down and acquire more picks or to take a defensive player that can make an impact right now. Kirk Cousins is very much a win now player that you just paid a ton of money to. You know, even if the goal is to draft his replacement, I think you could take that player farther down and hopefully gain more capital. It was just very puzzling. The first thing I did was send a text to the group that we were all in and just said, holy shit. I think that was most people's reactions.
About as surprising a top 10 pick as I can remember. You and I were texting back and forth. Edgerrin James over Ricky Williams, which it's a long time ago now. People not remember, but that was like Ricky Williams was up the running back of, a generational running back where he didn't even go wasn't even the first pick. That was shocking. Hayward Bay over Crabtree, a little more recent, but still, what, a dozen years ago? There have been a few, but that's about as shocking a pick as I can remember in the top 10. Just flabbergasted. Just can't believe they actually pulled the trigger on that.
Yeah, it really was. And I actually had him in my own little board that, of course, nobody cares about. It's all about trying to handicap what you think other people will do, not what I think they should do. Like last year, you and I did one of these, and we were both on CJ Stroud ahead of Bryce Young. And of course, you know, we've made those bets, and it didn't matter what we thought. It's you got to always handicap them. I have Penix ahead of May right now. Now, I think May could be better than him long term, and you don't have the health concerns. But in terms of pro readiness, I think Penix was the third prospect here. I still think it was shocking that he went that high, that Atlanta apparently blindsided Cousins with it too. So now you've kind of alienated him. Very puzzling. And like I said, it was definitely a holy shit moment. Biggest surprise probably in the last 10 years.
I think if you're going to make the case for it, you say this, you say Cousins is 30, what is he? 36, 37. I think he's 36. Yeah. Coming off an Achilles. If he's bad, we have a safety net. If he gets hurt, we have a safety net. So it's a little bit of a hedge of the Cousins. But if you're going to counter that, you're going to say, well, if you're so concerned about Cousins being bad, if you're so concerned about Cousins getting hurt, why did you pick him? I can't dispute that.
Yeah.
Very rarely does everybody agree on something, but this is like 100% disapproval rating, which almost makes me think it kind of works out in the end just because we're never all right about something. But who knows? Maybe Cousins, gets hurt week 6, week 7. He's bad middle of the season. You throw Penix in, he's good. And then the twist of all twists, and it actually works out. But very strange. Yeah.
A lot of money tied up in the QB position. Now they're cheap everywhere else. They did make some free agent signings on defense last year that did look good. But yeah, eventually the clock will be up and you'll have to pay all these guys. But yeah, weird one for sure.
Any other takeaways? Any other picks surprise you? Anything that say, hey, I want to bet on this team, bet against that team going into the year? Any just takeaways that make you higher or lower on a team than you were a few hours ago?
No, I don't think so. I thought we might see the Bengals take a weapon. I'm a AFC North guy, as you know, as a Browns fan. I was watching what the Bengals would do, watching what the Ravens and Steelers would do as well. I thought the Steelers getting an offensive lineman was solid. I was surprised the Bengals went that direction. I guess they're going to, force Higgins to play here under protest this season. But their secondary needed a lot of help. Their defense really took a step back after losing those guys in free agency. So, Baltimore did go D-back, the kid from Clemson, who I think is a little undersized, but the AFC North's got a lot of good wide receivers, and I trust Baltimore to probably develop him. You know, he'll maybe will be a slot guy, but nothing that triggered a bet overall. I do like, obviously, the Bears. Their business was solid to come out of that with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. I think you got two guys that are going to contribute and contribute right away. I don't know if I could pick them to win a division over, you know, Green Bay and Detroit, but we'll see. I'm interested in maybe their win total this season.
A lot of quarterbacks early.
Yes.
There's just both. You look at history. There's a few busts in here. We don't know which ones. We'll start there. Which ones are the busts?
Gosh, you know, it's so much about system in the league, and we'll see with Caleb Williams. Like, I think his talent is there. You take a number one, you know, when you go 1-1, you're expecting conference championship games and Super Bowls out of your guy. I think that's the floor. You got to at least reach those conference championship games. So if that's the standard, you know, Caleb Williams has got a lot of, he's got his work cut out for him. But again, Drake May, I feel like could go either way. I love what I've seen from him in terms of the measurables and everybody's impressions, but those guys that are big athletes but aren't accurate, they have a low, I think, hit rate. Everybody thinks he's, you know, the comparison you see is Josh Allen, but, you know, he's going to New England where they don't have the kind of weapons that Buffalo had. So, and they don't have the kind of the coaching. I think Daniels will succeed in Washington. That I love the weapons he has. Like, he's coming into a good spot. I think same with McCarthy. Those are two guys that land in a cushy spot with a lot of offensive weapons and good schemes that I think they could hit the ground running. Bo Nix was a little bit, I mean, it wasn't a surprise that he went to Denver because a lot of people had him and landed with Sean Payton. You'd like to think that, he'll develop him well, but I don't have the biggest confidence in his abilities at the next level. I think he's more of a, at his best is Derek Carr. And I don't know, do you love that as a top 12 pick? Is like, hey, we got Derek Carr. You know, we might make the playoffs once or twice. But even in that division, you need to do better than Bo Nix, I think.
Totally agree. And this victory lapping after the fact of, oh, by the way, Sean Payton was a big proponent of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Where did this come from? First of all, you didn't draft him. So this idea, I mean, it's like people that, you know, show up with, oh, I bet this at 100-1 after it hits. Well, you didn't tell me before the bet. It's just, that's a little tough to take. Oh my God, Peyton was all over Mahomes. But you know what? He didn't draft him.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to say after that. Like, that drives me crazy.
Well, Peyton gets a ton of credit because he was apparently the guy that, you know, stood on the table for Tony Romo.
And I agree with.
Yeah. And so nobody was really high on him. And since Drew Brees was going to be a good player, he was a good player in San Diego. He got hurt. And if it wasn't for the Dolphins failing the physical, the whole New Orleans story could be different. You know, because they were definitely going with Drew Brees over Culpepper. But I don't know. Peyton is he's I think he's a good coach. I think he can help develop quarterbacks. He's had a lot of good success in offense, but. Yeah, I don't think this was this grand scheme all along or anything like that.
Yeah, when you're competing against Mahomes and Herbert, Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. Good luck. And by the way, if Brett Favre just tucks it and runs in 2009, Sean Payton's never won a Super Bowl. He's never made a Super Bowl. So, and he's had a lot of horrible losses along the way. But sooner rather than later, these offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year markets will open. Anyone jump out to you? Worthy is going to be tempting just because, man, the speed, the talent is going to be with Mahomes. Mm-hmm. It's hard to trump a quarterback. It's usually a quarterback award. Jefferson broke all those records, and he still didn't win it. But anybody you'll be eyeing in either market.
I think Daniels would be the guy. I'm assuming he comes out as the short shot because he's landing in a division that's not that great. He's getting into an offense with a lot of good skill positions. I do think Caleb Williams has a chance, but you throw in it's the weather in the NFC North. You know, you got a Southern Cal guy going into Chicago and Green Bay and all these elements that he's never had to face. I just think his numbers will be a little bit depressed, where Daniels can actually he can have some success against some weaker defenses. Plus, you have the dual threat with the legs. I think he'll put up a lot of good numbers. I don't know if May – I think May will be – he might start 6 or 7 games towards the back end of the season. I think they're definitely going to go with Jacoby until they're out of it. One of the, like you said, one of the wide receivers, if anybody – gosh, yeah, I do. You took Worthy, so I want to go somewhere different, but I don't see it. Odunze, I think he's at best is going to be the third option on that offense, maybe the fourth with Komet. Neighbors has Danny Dimes throwing to him. Marvin Harrison, I think he could have a pretty good year, but I just don't see him surpassing statistically enough, where Daniels might have 30 total touchdowns. Harrison, if he has 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, I think that's a really good first year. And I just don't know who votes for him over a QB that has that many total touchdowns.
Breaking news. DraftKings does have odds for offense of the year, offense rookie of the year, defense rookie of the year. I would compliment them, but they're just dying to take our money. Hey, we get to tie up your money as long as we can. Yeah. Sure, let's hang in numbers. Caleb Williams plus 200, the short shot. Marvin Harrison Jr. plus 600. Jaden Daniels plus 650. J.J. McCarthy plus 800. Malik Nabers plus 900. Drake May plus 1600. Xavier Worthy plus 1600. Bo Nix plus 1600. Adunze plus 1800. Bowers 2500. And then you get into Brian Thomas Jr., 2,500. Mitchell, 3,500. Yeah. I think you can cut it there. First impressions.
I'm surprised that, you know, the top of the draft is obviously the short shots. I'm looking, trying to look farther down the board. They're sharp to Worthy. I think Worthy will take money, being 16-1. I think that's a spot where, and it's long enough odds where people won't be hesitant to tie some money up for as long as they're going to see to cash that ticket. But I think Daniels is in a good spot here. 650 though is too short for me to tie up money this early. Even McCarthy at 8-1, too early for me. If Bowers would have landed in like with the Jets and having Aaron Rodgers throw to him and being in a high profile games, yeah, a lot of primetime games, and probably puts up some good numbers, I would have loved a 25-1 price on him there. But, I mean, we'll see. I like a lot of the talent, especially at wide receiver.
It's a fun market.
We've got two running backs that probably would go in the second round here. We'll see where they go. You know, if Blake Corum gets plucked by the Chargers and Harbaugh throws him in there and runs him like he did at Michigan, he could have some pretty stupid numbers. Again, it's a lot about landing spot for these guys. Ikoram, I see down farther, 50-1. Again, it's more about a spot that he would land. Brooks from Texas, a lot of talent. You know, you like a guy like that. And these rookie running backs, to me, I've heard on the broadcast where they're talking about wide receivers are the easiest position to transition to the pros. And yeah, maybe we're moving that way, but forever when, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it's running back. Yes. You know, a running back plugs in and can immediately get you that 18 to 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. So if the spot is right for one of those guys, I may take a flyer.
If I gave you whatever, $100 free bet right now, where would you put your money?
$100 free bet.
Like, as much, yeah, like I'm going to bat for Worthy here, but mm-hmm, I got to beat out four quarterbacks. I'm only getting like 16-1. 16-1 is a nice number if you cash it, but it's not, yeah, like it's 30-1, 40-1. And again, I got to beat out six quarterbacks. Okay, Penix is not going to start. The other five, like May, will probably play sooner rather than later, whether it's a month, 6 weeks, whatever. I don't know. I got to beat all these quarterbacks. I only get 16 to one. Plus, I got to beat out Harrison Jr., these other receivers.
Yeah.
Again, he's got Mahomes. I don't know. If I gave you a free bet, well, who would you fire
on? I'd put it on Daniels. I think you can say that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Just the dual threat and the friendly offense that he's landed to. He's got very solid weapons. And yeah, and he gets to play, you know, the Giants twice. Cowboys defense was pretty bad, and they're going to be transitional too. So Eagles defense was Swiss cheese in the secondary, especially second half of last year. So got some friendly stuff playing a schedule too. So that would be my guy.
Quickly, defense rookie of the year, and then we'll get to the NBA games on Friday, and then we'll get you out of here. Latu is the short shot, plus 650. Tied with Dallas Turner, who's also plus 650. Mitchell 10-1, Verse 10-1, Chop Robinson 13-1, Byron Murphy 13-1, Arnold 14-1, Cooper DeJean 20-1, Kool-Aid is 25-1. Anything jump out to you here?
Well, you know, Cooper and Kool-Aid not going in the first round was a little bit of a surprise. I think everybody had most those guys top 25. It's about spots, but I wouldn't take a corner. I definitely would look for an edge guy that's going to have good counting stats, potentially, you know, get those sacks. Latu in the Colts front seven has a chance to be good. They've got a lot of good playmakers there. You know, if I was gonna make a bet right now, I think I'd go Verse at 10-1.
Not a bad one.
I think landed with the Rams, although Aaron Donald's not there anymore to take up two guys. They just seem to schematically get good guys to come in there, rush the passer, fast track. Yeah, I think it's more of a price play than anything at 10-1, but I don't love the market.
All right, NBA, we have a, for whatever reason, 5:30 Eastern game, which I can't remember a weekday 5:30 Eastern game. I love it. I'm not complaining. Pacers laying 6 to the Bucks. Then we have Mavs laying 4.5 to the Clippers. Suns laying 4 to the Timberwolves. Those are the Friday games. Anything you like out of that bunch?
Yeah, here in Indianapolis, we're getting a matinee almost.
Very strange. I don't know what the purpose of that. I can't remember ever a weekday game that early.
It's pretty bizarre. I think it's more of so they can stagger the games and not have them going off. They want to kind of own this night. You know, Pacers, they showed that if everything's clicking and they're playing at the pace they want to play, the Bucks can't stay with them. Now, do we know if Giannis is out definitely or not? It obviously plays a big factor. It looks like he's not going to play, so I would lean the Pacers. I would not lay the 6 points just because they're a team that doesn't play any defense. And when you try to lay numbers with teams that don't like to play defense, you usually get killed there. So I do think the Pacers get this win. It's a big – home crowd will really turn out for them. First playoff game in a few years here for Indiana. Moving to the Clippers and Mavs, I think is much more interesting. Kawhi, you know, eased back in game two. They looked a little worse with him in game two than
he was rusty. Short on his jumpers. Didn't exactly.
Not aggressive, kind of standing around. I still think the Clippers win this series.
Here we go with the Clippers. Clippers. You can't quit the Clippers.
I cannot quit the Clippers. I know that their A game is probably the second or third best in the third best. They have the third best A game in the league. But when do you get to see it? It's like little cool glimpses.
Banner. That'd be a nice banner for them to hang. They don't have any other banners to hang. That'd be a good one. Third best A game in the league. Put it, have a nice little ceremony and we'll hang that banner up.
Steve Ballmer will be going crazy. We got third place. You know, the Mavs again. Mavs, it'll be an electric atmosphere. I've been down there in Dallas for a playoff game. They do go crazy. I expect a big night from Luka, probably a 30-point triple-double. It's just going to be about the Clippers' three-point shooting. If they are on, it's very hard for the Mavs. They're just so dependent on Kyrie and Luka. And when they can just continue to throw those wing defenders and good challenge, make all of their shots tough, the Clippers can steal this thing. I would take the 4.5 points, but I think Mavs win this game very close. Clippers win the series is my prediction there. Wolves and Suns, the Suns just look very disorganized. They don't seem to have good sets on offense. I think they need a point guard to come into the lineup, whether that be Thomas. I don't know if he's the right answer, but I think that having Booker try to guard Ant-Man and then try to get off and get the offense started, it's just a lot. It's asking a whole hell of a lot out of Devin Booker. Beal could run the point as well, but again, I like Beal more off the ball, catching and shooting. His 3-point percentage is up this year. And, you know, KD, they seem to be happy with letting KD be the guy. And if he can get you 25 or 30, maybe they get this thing done. But the Timberwolves had down games out of Ant, down games out of Cat. I just think they're too long. They're too intense defensively. They will get the Suns out of here probably in five, maybe six games.
Any serious prices you think are jumping in before we get out of here? Anyone that was down 2-0, you thinking a rally back? Any of these look intriguing to you?
Gosh, you know, I don't have any bets right now on serious prices. I do think that if I was going to take one, I would take the Sixers just because they have the best player in the series. And he showed tonight, after making such a bitch fit about the officiating in game two, there was an overcorrection and he shot 21 free throws tonight. If that's going to be the way they call the game, the Sixers can't lose. It's just going to be about the officials in that series. But that would be the one I would take, was the Sixers to come all the way back. The other teams that are down, I think, are pretty done. Like, yeah, the Magic, they got their great win tonight. That place was hot. But the Cavs just have too much playoff experience here. They'll close them out. And trying to look through the pricing here if I see anything. I mean, it would be funny if the Heat do it. I don't think obviously would.
I was just going to ask you, does the Celtics pissing down their leg on Wednesday night in game two, does that change how you feel about them? Or are you already skeptical of them to begin with?
I always was skeptical of them. Yeah, they're a team that they're going to have the worst coach in most series, and especially as these series advance. And that's not saying I think he's a bad coach. I just think he lacks experience. He lacks the wisdom and the ability to make those in-game adjustments.
How about guarding a three-point shooter? My goodness, yeah. They have no talent. You can't just let them shoot uncontested three after uncontested. That's the only way they're going to beat is you just bomb threes on you. Let them do it. Just absolutely insane.
Yep, I don't get it. And he has enough length and athleticism on the perimeter to defend those guys. Like Holiday is sticky and White is sticky.
Porzingis, they're all good defenders. They have nothing but good defenders.
Yes, and if Bam is going to shoot over Porzingis and hit a bunch of 18-foot contested jumpers and he goes for 25 points, so be it. But like you said, you have to get out there. Spo is coaching circles around him. He's just got one arm tied behind his back with his best player out for the series. So Boston will get them out of there, but that would be the one I would say I'm rooting for just for the humor of it all. And I'm not rooting against anybody that laid Boston to win the East, you know, prices at 150 and minus 200 and stuff like that. But people were I heard a lot of people talking about it, and it's like, man, to win three series and lay minus 150, I just don't get it. Like, that's not the kind of bet I would ever make with so much game-to-game opportunity. But, hey, we'll see what happens. It's the playoffs. It's so much about health. You know, one rolled ankle and everything changes. So it'll be fun. I'll be watching every game.
When your path is Heat, Cavs or Magic, and then whoever, 150 is a good price, a good bet. I did lay it. I stand by that it's a good bet. Yep. I'd be very happy to lose. I can't stand the Celtics. Yeah. Some things are more important than money. I'd be so happy if they just lost.
Yeah, it's an emotional
I don't think they're
hedge,
going to. By the way, it's just one game. I don't think they're going to. I really don't. Look, Miami shot 54% from three. There's a little unsustainability. When you leave them open, they're going to make them. But I still think we're probably looking at the Celtics coming out of the East.
I think you're right. I'm a Cavs fan. We'll get the Magic out of there. We'll handle our business. But then we're in a horrible matchup with the Celtics. Yeah. You know, we're very post-oriented with Mobley and Allen. And our guard play, while they're good, Garland and Mitchell, they are on the smaller side. So they're going to be facing big physical guards in Derek White and Drew Holiday, which will make it pretty tough on those guys. And if we're trading twos, you know, on the inside with Mobley and Allen, who are they guarding on the other side? Porzingis will stretch Allen out, get him away from the paint, so his rebounding won't be as good as we're seeing it happen a little bit in the Pelicans and Thunder series, where Valanciunas can dominate on the offensive end and on the glass, but who can he guard? And I think Allen will have a lot of trouble in that series. Mobley, same kind of thing. Like they'll get the bigs out on the perimeter and they'll just shoot the Cavs to death. So if they do get to the finals and it's the Knicks, like, I mean, it'll be juicy. The crowds will be into it with the Garden, both the Gardens. Like I'm rooting for that, for it to be a long series, but yeah, I think the Knicks are outgunned. Can they grind them down? We'll see. It would be fun to watch Tibbs, you know, try to tinker against Missoula. And I think they would have a pretty big edge there in the coaching, but do they have enough 3-point shooting? Maybe. You need big games from DiVincenzo and Ananobi and Josh Hart, who's been amazing in this series, obviously exploding offensively, but I don't know. Still, man, $1.50 to lay it, like, three series. I think there's...
But who beats them?
Yeah, who beats them? You're right. It's one of those things. It's you're almost like it's going to happen unless an injury happens. And so it's like a bet against an injury, a Tatum injury or something like that.
It's best of seven. Like, if it's single elimination, you can't lay it. If it's best of five, it's best of seven. They're so far above everybody else. And again, it's a free roll. If they lose, we get to troll them. Matt, you're the man. This is fun to catch up. It's been a while. Long overdue. Appreciate you staying up. Where can everyone find your stuff?
Obviously in the Gold Boys Discord, at Twitter, at McAfee. But yeah, anytime. Well, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. Love the draft. Love NBA playoffs. I'll be watching and listening to all your stuff over at VSiN.
All right, man. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks again.
Yes, sir.
All right, that will do it. Fun show. Thank you to Matt McAfee. Fun weekend ahead. NBA playoffs, the rest of the NFL draft. We will be back on Monday to wrap it all up. Thank you guys for listening. See you then.